Hey friends, it's Pastor Scott Tucker at Good Shepherd Savannah. This would typically be our Sunday sermon recording, but we had a technical glitch yesterday, Sunday, November 19th, and the message didn't record properly. So I'm going to walk through the contents of the message today for you. Today was the last message in our series, Just 10 on the Ten Commandments. We've been going backwards from 10 to 1. The first commandment to wrap up the series. The title was, How to Prioritize the Kingdom of God. And so here's our scripture lesson beginning in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And then from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 25, the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of Jesus saying, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before I jump into the first commandment, into the body of this message, I want to remind you of a couple of things. One, I hope you've picked up a print copy of The Voice, our print publication that tells some of our story as Good Shepherd Savannah over the last 8 months and gives us a sense of where we're going in the next first part of the next year, the year 2024. Included in The Voice, one more thing I want to highlight, at Good Shepherd Savannah, in addition to our Bright Side advocacy partnership in missions for our local community that you heard about more earlier in today's service. We also have this other chance at incredible generosity. We worship and meet and study every week on Sundays and on other times during the week here at the Isle of Hope Baptist Church. They have been gracious and generous hosts. Many of you were here this past Wednesday. I came late for Friendsgiving. We were their guests, and there were 32 feet worth of tables full of food, over 160 people. And there was such a spirit of joy, both in those who gathered to eat and even among our gracious hosts who stayed later to clean up. There was a spirit of joy and welcome. And we have a chance at Good Shepherd Savannah. We have a chance to express our thankfulness. Since April, they were ready to receive us as their guests, never asking for rent. And so we've gone to them and had conversation with their leaders about things that were necessary. They want to do some renovations to the sanctuary space. The goal is about $100,000. Much of that, almost $60,000 of that, is already either pledged or in hand. So if you're looking for a way to give thanks through Good Shepherd to the Isle of Hope Baptist Church, that'll be a great way to do that. I was thinking about this the other day. When sheep graze, they eat, they clear cut everything. They eat all the way to the roots and to the dirt. But we're not even good sheep. We belong to the Good Shepherd. And so we don't want to just come in and use up this space and use up our welcome. We want to leave this place better than we found it. We want to leave it restored. And so we have a way to do that by our generosity. Now, the first commandment. The first commandment's really about priorities. It's really about priorities. We make priorities in almost every decision we make almost every day. We have to choose what's most important to us. We talked about that sanctuary renovation project in our dialogue with Isle of Hope Baptist Church leadership. They had to choose what was most important to them. It's an exercise in priorities. All of us go through exercises in priorities, what to value now, what to wait on for later, what to do now, what to do later. If you've ever figured up a budget for anything, maybe you did a Dave Ramsey Total Money Makeover course. Maybe your baby steps involve paying down debt or accumulating a rainy day fund. It's always about priorities. Even if you are paying off debt, priorities and how you pay off which debt first. I think Dave says you should pay the lowest value debt, the lowest dollar value debt, and then when that's paid off, you throw everything you were paying on that one to the next biggest, and then you get this sort of snowball effect and some momentum as you're paying off more and more and more. Or maybe you settle it this way: who will understand me the most if I delay paying them off? There are other priorities that may not have as high stakes as our personal finances. Maybe it's just the priorities of your calorie count this week. It's Thanksgiving, so maybe you're going to skip the potato chips and French fries early in the week so that you can bank those calories for Thursday and have grandma's apple pie or whatever it is that you love. Even this weekend, maybe it's not even that serious. I made a unexpected stop at Auspicious Bakery on Saturday morning. And when I got home, it was a matter of prioritizing just which bite I wanted to take. Do I want the cherry Pop-Tart or the lemon croissant? Priorities. Some are serious, some are silly, but priorities are real. You could say that priority is just another name for God, because whatever we put at the top of our priority list, whatever we put at the top of our priority list, that is our defining focus. That is our God. Your top priority is your God, whether it's God with a capital G or some other God with a little g. So it's no wonder that this is the first commandment. We've built backwards from 10 to 1 in a way to build up to a crescendo. It's not that any commandment is unimportant, but they all flow, don't they, from this single commandment at the very top: you shall have no other gods before me. It's a statement of priority, and we know when we get our priorities right, everything begins to flow in the right direction from that. And I believe this: you place God first, not just by making a decision, but you place God first by actually doing, not just deciding, but doing the things God sent you to earth to do. Jesus said this about priorities in John chapter 4, verse 34. He said, "My food." When he says "my food," he doesn't mean literally what's on his plate. He means the thing that nourishes him and gives him strength and drive and focus. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus was doing exactly what God sent him to do. In the fall, this time of year, the spiders love to attack and camp out outside the front door of my house. They build their webs, they catch their flies, they sort of make a mess. They love that front door space, but it's hard for me to get mad about it as many times as I have to take a broom and clean it off. Why? Because that's what spiders do. That's what spiders were sent to do. In a way, a spider honors God by spinning a web, dirtying up my front door area. That brings honor to God, because that's what the spider was sent to do. The birds, we might enjoy them better. The birds bring God glory, bring God honor by flying and chirping and singing and laying eggs. That's what birds were made to do. And when birds do that, they bring honor and glory to God. How about you and me? There was a church pastor and leader in the second century. His name was Irenaeus. He was a disciple of Polycarp, who had been a disciple of John the Apostle, the friend of Jesus. So he was only two generations removed in faith from the actual time of Jesus. Irenaeus said this when he was teaching Christians in his context. He said, the glory of God is a person fully alive. I like that. The glory of God is a person fully alive, a person fully aware of God's presence and working to do what they know God sent them to do, to bring honor to God in all that they do. The glory of God is a person fully alive. So what are the priorities? If this first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, if that's a statement of priority, what are the priorities for a life in line with God? Number one, I think worshiping God. Worshiping is among our top priorities. Worship is not just songs or prayers or sermons. I would argue that what we do when we gather on Sunday morning, in one sense, when we gather on Sunday morning, we do feel prepared and equipped and encouraged to go out into the world and serve Jesus more effectively. But worship really is just enjoying God, enjoying who God is and what God does. In a different sense, when we gather on Sunday to worship, it's the capstone. It's the finishing point of our week and not just its beginning point. Because when we come on Sunday, we celebrate all that we've done with God and for God in the week prior. We celebrate all we've seen God do during that week. In a way, it's like that covered dish Friendsgiving dinner. You worship all week long. You read your Bible. You write in your journal, you pray, you gather in your groups, you sing. I hope you sing on your own. You get so full that like your covered dish, you bring your worship, you bring your week's worth of worship into the sanctuary and you pour it out and we share together, we build together on how we've worshiped during the week when we worship together. I said this, worship isn't about songs. I hope you are singing songs in worship during the week. I love almost all the songs we sing at Good Shepherd, but you know what? If I'm listening during the week, I'm listening during the week. If I hear a song on the radio, if I'm listening on Spotify, if I hear a song that I don't like, I can just hit fast forward. I can hit skip. I can jump over that and find one I like. And when I've worshiped, I find this, when I have worshiped well during the week, it really doesn't matter what songs we sing when we gather because I'm ready to bring everything God's already done. So I'm not here to consume worship. I'm here to participate in worship because worship is about enjoying God. And I'll tell you this, anything that separates you from enjoying God, anything that separates you from enjoying God, that should be eliminated. When we think about setting priorities, I'm not here to give you a checklist of what's an absolute yes and what's an absolute no, what you have to give up and what you have to pick up. I'll give you this general direction. Anything that separates you from enjoying God, you should set that aside. And you should exercise setting a priority to the things that help you stay focused on God's goodness and on God's pleasure in your life. Worshiping God is one of the key priorities for a life in line with God. The second thing I want to remind you about this morning is loving other believers. That's another way that you can set priorities to make sure your life is lined up with God's priorities. Loving, especially loving other believers, loving other followers of Jesus. That's one of the goals for our Good Shepherd groups. Over 100 of you, not counting children or students, over 100 of you have this fall in this first expression of Good Shepherd groups, you've committed to regular weekly gathering. And it's sort of an exercise. It's a time to stretch ourselves because you're not just gathered like we are on Sunday morning in rows, looking at the back of each other's heads side by side while one person talks. You're gathered in living rooms or around tables. You're side by side and you're face to face. You're opening up the scriptures or some other study and you're opening your lives. Most importantly, you're opening your lives to each other. And you are hearing questions and comments and observations. And sometimes your brother helps you or sometimes you help your sister across the room. All of that is an expression of love. Jesus said it in John 13, the last night he spent with his disciples before he went to the cross. John 13:35, Jesus said it, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you..." What? He didn't say if you sing the best songs. He didn't say if you memorize all the verses of the Bible. He said, "By this you'll know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Learning to love one another is a hard thing, else Jesus wouldn't have had to say it to us like that. And when we love one another, I think we begin to get it right with another priority, a third priority, what it means to become like Christ. Friends, we know when we start in this journey of faith, most of us don't start getting much of anything right. And we know there's a great gap. We know there's a great gap for us to grow, to become like Christ. And we don't all start in the same place. I did a wedding this weekend, a young Christian couple. Both of them have believing parents, parents who've been together for many years. One of them been together 30 plus years married. The other parent's been married over 40 years. I told that young couple, unlike many other couples getting married today, they start way ahead in the game. They start already on first or maybe second base because of all that's been invested in them, all they've seen live out in faithful Christian marriage. And so there's an incredible place for them to start. But I tell you this, friends, whether it's in marriage or any other area of Christian life, most of us don't start in that place. But in the gospel with Jesus, in the gospel, in the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, there is always hope for growth. There is always hope for growth. So it's important that we're honest with ourselves and say, where are we starting today? Where are we starting today? Maybe we're acting like we're somewhere where we're not, but I want you to be clear on where you are today so you know where you can grow next. There's not judgment. There's not judgment about where you are or where someone else is based on where you started or where you didn't start. I want you to see clear where you are so you'll know, one, that the Holy Spirit is at work growing you, and so that you'll know that the Holy Spirit can grow you. That's His desire to grow you. Maybe you just want to ask and answer this question to yourself. How am I becoming like Christ? How am I becoming like Christ? I'll tell you this, because I've had this conversation over the last several months with several different ones of you here in the Good Shepherd Savannah family. Some of you have been Christians for a while, and you've struggled with an ongoing sense of a sense maybe of despair, or maybe of a feeling that you weren't worthy of God. I'll tell you, that's absolutely normal. That's absolutely normal, even for a person who is a born-again Christian, a converted Christian. You know that God has done a work of forgiveness and of healing and of transformation in your life. But friends, it's completely normal. The longer you live in relationship with God, it's completely normal for you to continue to be aware, and maybe even more keenly aware, that there is a fundamental gap between where you are and the goodness and the holiness of God. Don't let the experience of that gap push you away or push you back from intimacy, from desiring a closer walk with God. Let that recognition that there is some ground to cross, some space to grow, let that be something that drives you forward, knowing that God is reaching toward you in Christ. And He is cheering you on as you walk the journey of sanctification. There's some things that you can only do with the help of the Holy Spirit, and growing more like Christ is one of those things. So that's a priority. Fourth, a priority we know is the priority of serving others. That's a way we grow. It's also a way we know that we have our priority set on the fact that there is no other God before us. Let's be honest. Selfishness. Selfishness is the great curse of the human race, but especially in our modern era. We must learn to make a priority of others, especially in the way that we live and receive the gospel and live in our fellowship and our church life, when we recognize that our church exists. Any church exists not simply not simply to care for people who are already Christians, but to help by serving others and helping them to become followers of Jesus themselves. I've said this before, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is unique and that the gospel of Jesus only comes to people on the way to others. The gospel of Jesus only comes to people on the way to others. Now, God's fully vested in interest in saving you, in loving you, in making you grow up in the image of God, like we've already talked about. But friends, the gospel is something that can never be kept a secret. It's a very personal thing as God works in you and grows you. It is personal, but it is not private. It's not meant to be held on to by any one individual or group. The gospel always comes to people on the way to others. That's a key thing for us here at Good Shepherd as we start out in this first year of our existence, to prioritize what it means for the gospel to be ours on the way to serving others who are separated from God and from the gospel. Now, I've already tipped my hand and told you about the fifth priority. After serving others, we want to know that it thrills God, it pleases God for us to be telling others about Jesus. You see, the priorities of your life, you can't keep them a secret. Anybody that watches you, anyone that analyzes your thoughts or sees your speech or what you do with your time or your money, your priorities are clear. They reflect the work of God so far, and to the degree that your priorities line up with God's, you point others to Jesus Christ. You use your witness and you use your words. And when your witness and your words are in balance, that picture of integrity helps point the way to others to find the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are telling a story with your life. You are telling the story of your own priorities. That's why Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things God will add to you, God will put in place. So I'd encourage you right now. I'd encourage you to make sure you have made Him the first priority. Have you believed that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God? That He's come and He's offered Himself on the cross as a remedy for your sinful nature. And that He's offered you forgiveness and the chance at real life, new life, resurrected life, proven by the power of God at work in His resurrection. If you've believed Him, if you've believed that that's why He came, then all you need to do is receive Him. Receive Him. Know Him as Savior and Lord. And that is the first priority. That is the first priority. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other sub-priorities will fall into place. Friends, when we prioritize the kingdom of God, we know this, the more we yield ourselves to God, the more we give ourselves to God, not only the more we become like Christ, but the more of Himself God gives to us. The more we surrender ourselves to God, the more we give ourselves to God, the more He gives Himself for us. Friends, that's a priority. That's a promise that we can all live with. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love You and we thank You that in Jesus you are always inviting us to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Give us the faith to trust that You will add all these things to us, that You will take care of everything when we have given ourselves first to You. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey friends, thanks for stopping by to listen to Good Shepherd Savannah Sermons. You can find out more about us and our ministry at gssav.com. That's our website, Good Shepherd Savannah, gssav.com. Look forward to seeing you again soon.